Continuing this ramble around the book of Proverbs, page 666. Not a very auspicious number, is it? However, it's in the Bible. Page 666. And in the left-hand margin, halfway down, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Literally, a tower of strength. Did you know that that expression, a tower of strength, came from the Bible? The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The righteous run into it and are safe. More literally, singular. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It's an individual verse for you and me. Doesn't it make a picture? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. You know how the English love to laugh at the Irish. There's an explanation of it, but I'm not going to tell you. And English visitors to ancient Celtic religious sites in Ireland find great amusement that the ancient Irish built great round towers rising up 120 feet into the air. Marvelous constructions, circular, tall, straight, and then put the door 14 feet above. You see, who but the Irish would go to the trouble of building a round tower 120 feet high and putting the door where you can't get into it? Well, you see, there's common sense in everything. A lady called me after a service once, and she said, the real explanation of the round towers is that they were musical instruments. And the door was placed so that each tower would vibrate to a different note, so that when the wind blew, the whole island hummed. Now, she was English. Do you see, it was the Danes. They were the trouble. In those days, they weren't filling the world with bacon. They were filling the world with terror. And when the word went round that the Danes are coming, well, what better? Up your ladder you scoot, into your door, and you pull the ladder up after you. No Dane can get in there. In fact, it's a rather a crafty place from which to pour a little molten lead down on their heads. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It does make a picture, doesn't it? Our patron saint is St. Patrick. Unlike your patron saint, he did something for us. He returned to Ireland in the year 432. A decent, honorable man was Patrick, and even his date is easy to remember. He had been a slave captured to Ireland, and he escaped 15 years earlier. But he couldn't escape the voice that said to him, "We pray you, holy youth, come again and walk among us." And the voice nagged away at him. "We pray you, holy youth, come again, walk among us." And 15 years later, in 432, Patrick landed in Ireland, and he made straight for a place called Tara in County Meath, because that was the seat of the High King, Ireland was a series of small kingdoms, but there was a high king at Tara. And the high king had ordered that anyone moving that night, it was a sort of curfew, should be killed. And he sent messengers out to make sure that nobody was on the stir. And he had heard that there was this party that had landed and was making for Tara. Now that is true. The bit that's a legend is that the messengers came back to the king and said, "We couldn't find anybody. We did see a herd of cattle moving over the hills." Well, the Lord has his own way of doing things, you know. At any rate, the legend says that as they walked, they sang that marvelous hymn which we know as St. Patrick's Breastplate. "I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity." The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Every believer walks in the way of threat and danger. I say every believer because that's the truth hidden behind that word righteous. Righteous means right with God. And in the Old Testament, as in the New, all the way through the Bible, the way to be right with God is to trust his promises. Here's an Old Testament man, and he's just been to the temple to offer a sacrifice for his sins. And when he returns, his wife questions him. "How do you know your sins are forgiven?" "I was there," he said. "I saw the animal die in my place." "How do you know it died in your place?" "Because I laid my hand on its head and appointed it to be a substitute for me." But how do you know that this is the way to be right with God? "Because he said so." You see? God appoints a sacrifice, and they trusted what he said. "If you offer this sacrifice, if you nominate it to be your substitute, your sins will be carried away." Now, instead of the animal, put in Jesus. "I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, who bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while as a penitent I stand and there confess my sin." We nominate Jesus as our substitute, and we put our trust in what God has promised. "Those who trust in Jesus are right with me." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The person who is right with God, who has put his trust in God, runs into it and is safe. And he needs a place to run into, because every believer walks in the way of threat and danger. The world, the flesh, and the devil, says the baptism service. Right. The world with its allurements and its temptations. The flesh with its allurements and temptations. The devil with his allurements and his temptations. Every believer walks in the way of threat and danger. Every believer walks in the way of revelation. Now, isn't it strange that this proverb doesn't say the Lord is a strong tower? It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Isn't that striking? Wouldn't it be just the same if it said the Lord is a tower of strength? The righteous runs to him and is safe. Well, yes, it would. But it actually says that the name of the Lord. Name summarizes all that God has told us about himself. All that we know of God by way of revelation. The name is shorthand for all that God has told us about himself. In a way, it started with Moses. Moses was being sent back to Egypt to bring the people out, and he was terrified, and he made every possible excuse. And his first excuse was this: when I go to the sons of Israel, they will say to me, what is his name, this God who appeared to you? What is his name? What will I say to them? And the Lord said to them, tell me that I am that I am has appeared to you. That doesn't give away much, does it? I am that I am. Now, I'll tell you a story. If you promise me, you'll never tell it to anybody else. When I went as a curate to St. Philip's Church, Penfields, Wolverhampton, I naturally did the round of all the gatherings and all the meetings just to try and meet as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. And on Monday afternoon, there was the women's meeting. Poor old dears, they'd been washing all morning. And they were worn out. They weren't able to stand up for the hymns or the prayers or anything. They just sat there. Actually, the one bit of strength that was left to them was they went on with their knitting. At any rate, there was I sitting at the back of this women's meeting. And a lady speaker was announced. And would you believe it? She gave out as her text, I am that I am. And I thought, aren't I the lucky fellow? I've always wanted to know what that meant. Now I'm going to learn. Now what she said was this. And this is the bit you mustn't tell to anybody. What she said was this. In the course of life, you will meet many threats. You will have many needs. And on every occasion, whatever you need, the Lord will come to you and say, I am that. I am. Now, I'm not at all certain you can get that out of the Hebrew, but I am certain that that's what the Lord meant when he said his name was, I am that I am. I am that. What do you need? I am that. Now you won't tell anybody, will you? He really meant the things that they needed at that time. They were in the grip of a rotten, genocidal king. If they got out of that grip, they were going to face the Red Sea. How would they get across it? If they got across the Red Sea, they were going to go out into the wilderness. No crops, no shops, no nothing. How would they live? I am that I am. You want to be released from the grip of the deadly king? I am that. You want to cross the Red Sea? I am that. You want to be provided for in the wilderness? I am that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hey ho, we must hurry, must we not? You still with me? If you all look at your watches, I'll know that you're still awake. Every believer walks in the way of threat. Every believer walks in the way of revelation. Every believer walks in the way of faith. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Don't leave it to chance. Don't delay. Get on with it. Run to your strong tower. I have an old Bible at home that my grandma gave me in 1930. And it's one of those old authorized versions of the Bible that has a little summary at the head of every chapter in tiny, tiny print in case you might try to read it. In Acts chapter 9, Peter is arrested by King Herod and imprisoned, and he's under sentence of death. And in relation to verse 5 of Acts 12, verse 5, my old Bible says, the church fleeth to prayer. Isn't that vivid? The church fleeth to prayer. We're not going to delay. We're going to get there as quick as we can. The church fleeth to prayer. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The one who is right with God runs into it and is safe. Very vivid proverb. Easy to remember, isn't it? Say it to yourself, the name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The one who is right with God runs and is safe.